Hey, 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 this is the Bachelor Masters. Now, usually these men tell all slash women tell all episodes stink, right? And we have nothing to talk about and we complain and our podcast sucks for it. But this time around, this episode, while still bad, had so many problem behaviors that I actually was pretty captivated.
Well, the girls went to Casa Amor, and I think Will cheated on Kira. Like, he did cheat on Kira, but are they together?
Wait, what are you talking about? Love Island?
Yes. Like, actual good, fun stuff happened. Interesting. I mean, I am excited about Love Island. Remember being excited about The Bachelor? Now, Craig, I totally get your point. You're actually right, and you said the thing that I didn't expect you to talk about yet, but it was like fun show, and I can't wait. When's the last time we said we can't wait for this, for something on The Bachelor? I can't wait for tonight's episode of Love Island. It's gonna be crazy.
There's lots of things that I can't wait to have happen, and Love Island is not one of them, but we could say that about a lot of things. Why zero in on Love Island?
Because it's on at the same time and it's comparable. Like, the only most obvious reason.
What about this new surfing show that's coming out? Have you seen the previews for that?
It looks so bad. Everything looks bad because if they were good surfers, they'd be famous in the surfing world already, and they'd be in the Olympics and or surfing championships.
Yeah, but this is surfing with sex involved.
Cool. Well, I mean, I guess that's the last thing on the list with sex. Like, we've already had living in a house with sex. You know, Caitlin, everything's with sex.
Caitlin, bring us back around to The Bachelor here. Help us out.
I mean, it's going to be hard with the surfing and the Love Island leads. I don't know that there's a comparison to surfing to be made to tonight's Men Tell All episode.
I thought it was full of things to talk about.
I mean, it was okay. I found parts of it boring.
Well, no question. I mean, yeah. As I said in my little intro, it was bad. There's no question.
There's some interesting moments that popped out.
But in terms of, like, trying to discuss race, class, gender, culture kind of phenomenon, I thought it was full of really interesting things that we can deep dive on.
I agree, but I do feel like I think everyone else is feeling it. This season of The Bachelor made me feel like everyone is having a good time except me. You know, like, they're getting me to believe that they're trying to make me believe that all these things are great and sad and interesting and good and, like, you know, fun. And, you know, I'm going through all the men and thinking of what we're supposed to feel or what they're trying to make me feel. And I think Caitlin's with me on this. I cry at so many stupid things. Oh, my gosh. Even parenting things. I cried at the movie Hereditary. You know that scary? I cried. I screamed because it had a parent that lost their kid. And I, like cried in the theater. I will cry at anything. I will cry at, I'm the Kodak commercial crier, and this didn't give me nothing. I like glazed over. Who cares?
People were tearing up on screen.
I think those are actors. I honestly think now, I don't, you know, you, Caitlin, maybe you've gone to some tapings of stuff. I know me and Craig have gone to a lot. And I think something that a lot of people know who go to tapings is there are always actors in the audience. Not always. And, you know, maybe just coincidentally there are. But there's also hired people in the audience.
Let's start there.
We know about at least one of them.
Oh, yeah, sure. Let's start there. Okay. I have it.
We're not supposed to call people crazy, right? That's no longer woke. Is that correct?
Sure.
That said, some crazy psychopath stands up in the audience. Some deranged psycho.
Yeah. Oh, that's what we're supposed to believe. Yes. I agree with you.
Yeah, that member of Bachelor Nation is so emboldened by watching Connor on TV that they were like, I know you can't be a bad... It's simply impossible that you would be a bad kisser. And of course, she's already mic'd up, which is weird. If she were a random audience member who suddenly is declaring her love for Connor B.
Every time they show her, she's like giggling beyond control. I love it.
Okay.
Good kiss or not, it's about the connection.
Caitlin, I'm so sorry to interrupt. I just want to say, Connor, that I watched you on the show and I just think you're absolutely adorable. And
the acting.
I know that you can't be a bad kisser. Oh.
I was literally checking you out earlier.
A mic'd up model pay to kiss him is a perfect microcosm for this season.
Now let's not go too far here and call her a model.
Okay.
Well, that's she's a musician. Let me tell you.
Is she?
Yeah, she's like a aspiring. You know what I mean? Like she plays music, but she's not a person who's made it. Person.
How do you know? Did you read like who was the woman that stood up and?
Yes, I read a little bit about her. Well, you saw the casting call, right? The casting call was posted.
I did. I did see. Okay, so just for our listeners who haven't seen this, tweeted.
I got to tell you something about this casting call. I had a friend who was on the callbacks, which means like they're like, oh, okay, we'll consider you.
No, see, I don't believe any of that. Sorry.
What do you mean you don't believe it?
I don't believe
that. No, she's not. She sent me the casting.
She didn't. She sent you the fake. You have the fake casting call that was made by somebody on Twitter to fool gullible people such as yourself.
I'm a member of that email list. I didn't see it because it's not my age range. Because it's not
what
I'm,
central I'm, casting.
I'm not the actor, right? I'm not the actor here. But okay, she sent it to me as a callback. She didn't send me the original casting. She sent me the callback.
No. See, no, that did not happen. Central casting did not send around.
I'm not saying it was central casting because I saw that too, and I don't know where that was because I looked through the central casting to see if it was still up and it wasn't.
So anyway, for people listening who don't know what we're talking about, someone on Twitter posted a fake screen grab of central casting enlisting somebody to do exactly what this woman did. Like it laid out in way too specific terms exactly what you would need to do if you got the role.
Oh, I didn't. So someone, okay, who? Can you tell us who posted this?
I don't know. It was on Twitter. It was all over Twitter. I don't know. I don't know who originated it.
Well, I mean, there's got to be it's coming from somewhere. It's a retweet.
Yeah. But whoever started it is like your
someone
friend.
Took
lying.
The time to No. Someone took the time to write down what looks like a casting call. That is very strange.
No, it's not. Not on Twitter.
Oh, it's not. It's a joke. Then is what you're saying. It possibly is a joke.
I think your friend is lying too. I don't know.
I'm telling you that there was a call for a person. It did not look like what I saw, which was from an Instagram account. That's different. That no one would lay it out like that on a casting call. People would say something like, we need someone to be in the audience and we need this. It would say something like that. It wouldn't be the specific thing I saw, but I didn't see that.
Right. So, okay. So we're in agreement that the central casting thing on Twitter is fake.
Well, I didn't even.
Too detailed.
I don't want to say an agreement, but I agree with you in general. Yeah. Like, cause I didn't see, I saw it and it looked weird. Like that's not what it looks like. I could send you a central casting. Well, anyways, go ahead.
So what about your friend? What your friend sent you, man?
She
you
said
think it
that
was
she
a call
got
for this deranged
a callback
lunatic.
For The Bachelor. She got a callback from The Bachelor. She thought it was to be on The Bachelor, but she didn't want to be on The Bachelor.
What does this have to do with the deranged lunatic in the audience?
It's not a deranged lunatic. It was a hired person.
But you just said that your friend... Oh, God, this is getting too confusing.
Okay, yeah, this is getting too confusing. There was an ask for who, but it wasn't... I don't know if it was like, here's a blanket... you know, casting. It might have gone out to certain people who they know do stuff like this.
Right.
Does that make sense? Like, kind you of. You have, like people you think could do it. I don't know.
So what about your friend makes her think that what
she got
she
a call
received...
back from Bachelor people saying, but then she didn't find out anything else because she sent in a recent headshot and they didn't agree. They didn't like it. They didn't call her back.
So that's she thinks because of the timing that they were casting for this audience role.
Yes, exactly. And then she thought that's the spot they were going to give her because the way it sounded was that it was a Bachelor spot. But I totally, when I heard that, I was like, oh yeah, it makes sense that it was casting and that it was a casted role. What? So you're saying that someone made this up because it's funny. The casting call.
Yeah, I don't think it was casted. I think they just... Okay, you and I have been to a taping of The Bachelor, the proposal, studio audience. We know how many deranged lunatics are already in the audience. I just think they said, does anyone want to make out with Connor?
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying that people there... No, this person... I do feel this person was casted. Who knows what that means, but I do feel like they asked her to come in.
I'm not going to disagree with you. We can agree to disagree, but let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
The woman wearing the cat suit in the audience, was she casted?
Given the cat suit or asked to join the audience.
Well, that's my point. If she was given the cat suit when she walked in, then why couldn't they just pull aside a woman and be like, we want you to make out with Connor?
I think that's a lot. I don't think you can ask someone to kiss someone without paying them. I think that's like borderline sexual harassment.
Well, okay. But hold that thought. I want to get to the sexual harassment part of this. But Caitlin, can you break the tie? Are you even still with us?
I think that this woman is a plant. I think she was casted or specifically asked. And there's rumors going around online that this woman's name is Tara Kelly. And she refers to herself. Hang on, I'm gonna find out the exact description of what she calls her music. It's cosmic country. Hang on.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean it doesn't sound amazing.
Cosmic country?
Yeah. Cosmic country music is how she describes herself. And apparently she's like Instagram friends with Connor and also with Hunter. And people are like, oh, I think they might know each other. And so maybe she was volunteered. You know what I mean? Like maybe it was like, oh yeah, I'm sort of friends with you.
She was,
so I'll make out with you on TV, you know?
Right.
Oh yeah. Sounds like she was offered. That's okay.
Yeah. That's kind of what it seems like to me. I do not believe that this was a woman who approached the producers as she arrived at the taping was like, I love Connor B. He got such a bad rap with that kissing thing. I would like to make out with him on TV to prove that he's good at it. I don't think anyone came to them with that idea.
Connor got all the songs he wanted of his crappy music, got everyone to say he was a great guy for, 20
this
minutes
guy
straight.
Was the he star is, of Ben Tell All.
He has family that is the producers owe him a gigantic favor. There's no way. I am very confused because there's no way that the majority of people are not feeling what I'm feeling at home in this complete disgust by of Connor. I can't, you know, sometimes I'm like, I can see why people like him. I hate him, but I can see why people like him.
I think that's the brilliance of the move that the producers made. Is I think deep down they know, they agree with you, EZR, that he is cringy, not lovable. And so that's kind of what made this kissing bit work, I think. You know?
because he, because you're like, who would do that? But then it makes sense that someone would. I'm confused.
Well, sometimes, you know, it's like when you root for the villain, right? It works because it's not supposed to work in some sort of, like, okay. If Chris were here, if co-host Chris were here, he could explain it in storytelling terms for us. But
okay,
like, it works because it's like we knew something like this was going to happen, and it's just so cringe. Now, I wish they hadn't had him play. I wish they had not had him play his ukulele at the end, because that was too much.
Oh, if they just it gives left away it the kissing, like. Okay, I can stand for that. I can be okay with that. Yeah. I mean, I guess
play the. Go ahead.
Let's wrap it up with what I think about what you just said. So I want us to keep that in your head, because I think I don't think that's wrong. I think that makes sense. I mean, it could be a full out, you know, we want this guy to be our next Wells Adams, right?
Right.
Which like, who, maybe that was a real liking by Bachelor Nation. But all the Bachelor stars are off. Like, there's no mainstream Bachelor star, you know, that makes right. sense to everyone. Like, you think a Colton, All-American, but no, he's like, no. But, like, Ashley I and Wells Adams are, like, the mainstays. It really is strange, like, yeah. who gets star treatment, right? So maybe he's another one of the one-offs that make sense to them, which don't make sense to us. Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Anything else about this Connor thing then?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about whether or not it's sexual harassment.
Okay.
Because we can do the usual whataboutism and be like, well, what if it was a female?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Kaylin, what do you think?
So what if this was a women tell all episode and a woman had been branded as a bad kisser, well, is that, what you're saying, and a male audience member volunteered? Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell, because I truly believe that this woman was either hired or like was done as a favor to Connor or something, you know what I mean? Like, I do not think this is a random person to begin with. In which case makes me feel like, well, it's definitely not sexual harassment, because she clearly like wanted to do this and agreed to do it specifically on TV.
Well, I mean, it's a little weird. What gives the film industry the right to say you have to make out with somebody?
It's because actors do, right? I mean, it's like, storytelling. Like,
yeah, right? But is it in the law? I've often wondered.
But see, here's the problem. That's my issue too, I think, is that this was there's an end game here. And they're trying to tell us there's no end game. That like it just randomly happened. And I think that's where the sexual harassment part comes in. Because in a movie, there's an end game. You know, you're like, it's supposed to be part of the storytelling, whether it's sex or whatever, or getting, you know, bringing up traumas, whatever it is. There's an end game. There's a point. There is no point to this except for what we say, that Connor is, they're trying to make him a star, right? It's like too much. You're right. It is so much, because it's not enough that he can't even, he can't leave without playing one more song. He can't have nothing wrong with him, because he's not even a bad kisser. Like, you can't even walk away thinking that. What?
Yeah, and he kissed the woman a second time.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was even that, weirder. Like,
sloppy, thanks, yeah.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Okay, that part made it weirder to me, right? But, like, it wasn't even just the first kiss. But then she, like, sits down and they have that short conversation about her ranking the kiss, and she says it's an 11 out of 10. Obviously, you know, he's the greatest kisser of all time, essentially. Mm-hmm. And then, like, as before, she's like, let's just make out again. And you hear him being like, I'll get your number or whatever. And I was like, this is weird in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But, like, very much in my mind, this is a person who either already knew Connor or was specifically hired to make out with him, and that he was absolutely down to make out with an actor hired to make out with him.
He's DTF with the actor.
Yeah, so like, therefore, I'm like, yeah, I don't find it problematic that it happened per se. I find it much more bizarre that the producers thought that this was something, like, this is a storyline they're trying to push in some way when it doesn't make any sense, I think, to the audience in general. Like, why why do we all need to see Connor make out with a seemingly random woman and be told that he's actually an excellent kisser when we all have eyes and we've seen him kissing on The Bachelorette and we know that that's not true?
Well, I for reasons I already said, I think it's because the bit actually does work. For whatever reason, you know, because we're rooting for the villain or, you know, whatever, he's the unlikely hero. The bit was entertaining to watch. It was probably the only real, truly entertaining part of the show.
Now, entertaining if you see the layers, or entertaining just in general?
I mean, just entertaining, like, oh, that happened and I'm laughing. Now, about this second kiss that he did, I mean, you're spot on, Caitlin, that he should never have done the second kiss. You never want to look too eager when it comes to things like kissing. Like, you had your one kiss, sit back down, get her number later, everything's fine. You don't need to go in for a second kiss, because women don't like that. They don't like it when you're too eager for that kind of stuff. Am I not right
on that? And that was front. Part of his problem with Katie, as we recall, with the kissing, is that he was always sort of right. awkward in his lead-ins, that he did always seem incredibly eager to be like, well, you just sat down, we're talking, I guess it's time for us to suck face, you know, right. Like, so I feel like that doesn't, to my mind, this does not redeem his bad kissing reputation at all, right. But it's supposed to make us think it did, I guess. I don't know, I find this to be a very odd choice. But sure, well, I guess
it does bring up, I mean, the whole conversation brings up just all these questions about the film industry for me that really we don't need to talk about, but I feel like I've teased it, so I should bring it. It's like, why does the film industry get away with stuff like this when every other industry doesn't?
Well, you know, I was actually watching Law and Order, and glad you brought this up. It's very related. No, on Law and Order, this last season, Ice-T has a love interest.
Law and Order Special Victims Unit.
Special Victims Unit. Yes, of course. Yeah. That's the only Law and Order, Craig. Except for the new one. That's good, too.
Yeah, it is true. That's the only one.
Yeah. Ice-T has a girlfriend. And I don't know. I think I remember this from, like, you know, E! News. But he has something in his contract where the only woman he will ever kiss is his wife, Coco.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah. So they have a love interest that he's, because they've never really advanced his. Oh, that's not true. They have a whole, like, couple seasons where him and his kid, you know, his kid's gay and all this stuff. But they've never advanced him as, like, a romantic lead because of this clause, I think, in his contract. So whenever they have him and the girlfriend, her name is Jennifer Esposito in real life, I don't know her name on the show, kiss, it's very obviously not kissing. They just kind of, like, put one face over the other, kind of like a 50s kiss, you know, like have. So it just, you know, there are always ways around it. Depends who you are. I mean, he's Ice-T. He's a horrible actor, but he's a mainstay of the show. You can't have SVU without Ice-T. So it's, I don't know. I don't, like, yeah.
Well, there must be exceptions written into the law. Like you literally cannot say, I want to hire a white person for this business role, right? You cannot do that. It's a protected class race. But you can say, I want to hire a white person for this role, right? So there must be a broad exemption to the law, you know, the hiring laws out there to allow that.
They're definitely more open with things now, and not only, well, speaking from just experience, there's always, like, the sex coach on set if there's a sex scene, but then there's also now a consent coach, like, person who will talk you through things that are uncomfortable. And sometimes that's a team. So there's a lot of money being put into making sure that it never gets kind of compromised.
Right. Maybe that's because they've been threatened to lose their exemptions in the law. And it's like, we want to be proactive about making sure it's all above board.
It's definitely proactive. Like I'm very, it's very interesting and a little bit strange because, well, back to the iced tea thing, it will take you out of the show because you can tell they're not kissing. And it reminds you that iced tea is married in real life. And so it reminded me of the story I hadn't thought of, you know, since I heard it on E! News. So it was one of those strange, like, oh, this totally took me out of it because I remembered why do they want to give him a love story?
Okay. One last thing. Okay. What's this new Law and Order? What's the new Law and Order?
Oh, Law and Order, organized crime. Stabler, his wife died. It was killed by the guy from Boston Legal from like the 90s. And then, and instead of like, you know, one-off shows like on all the Law and Orders, this is a you're following Stabler through this whole thing with this one guy. So it's like a giant movie. It's not like a 1 hour movie. It's like a 20-hour movie. Yeah.
So anyway. It's a serialized Law and Order.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you remember Law and Order Los Angeles, starring my doppelganger Skeet Ulrich?
That's your doppelganger, really?
Yeah, I've never heard that before.
I love Skeet Ulrich. I remember him from the 90s.
Yeah, he was in Scream. Yeah.
Oh, I've heard of it, but I never got a chance to see it. I used to think it was dumb, and now I love it. So.
No, Law and Order Los Angeles was amazing because living in Los Angeles, whenever it would go dun dun, and they'd show the exterior of a building, you'd be like, I know that building.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, are you done with the consent Connor stuff?
Yes, but I have another big topic to talk about. But I'm willing to cede my time over to you if you want to take over.
Yeah, I just want we've beat Michael A to death, and I am on that train. I just want to close him out since he left.
Okay.
So Michael A tells his kid it's a work trip, and it really is a work trip, right? He's going to live forever off of this couple of weeks. I think it's worth the weeks.
If ever it was a work trip,
Exactly. Why does she want to convince everyone they're the one? I mean, to me, she's a puppet of the producers. She wants the validation. She wants the compliments that come with telling someone they're special to you. Now, then he comes back, you know, they break up, and I could not have disengaged more. I was so just tuned out because I didn't think it was sad or compelling. Even if I put myself in his place, I'm still not like compelled. No one is asking why he said yes to going on The Bachelor. It makes zero sense to me. He not to do the double standard thing, because I agree that it doesn't always work this way, but he would be so heavily criticized if he was a woman. But again, that's not the point. There's no criticism here, I feel, because he suffered a loss. And I think that's detrimental. You can have mutually exclusive things happen and still criticize somebody.
Well, the example is, what's her name? She was on Paradise a couple times. She has two kids. Amanda Stanton. Yeah. She was criticized. You're right.
Yeah. And she was on for way less. She was on like on and off for a lot. Right. So like to me, it makes it sound like Katie's the rebound. This is the frustrating part. Is that if I was 15 and I was watching this episode of The Bachelor, I would think, oh, I must be too young and I don't get it. I don't get what they're going through. And I got to say, as a 36, I don't know how old I am. I don't get it. I am mature right now enough to understand. I have a 4-year-old. that what I see is he is trying to fill a void, and that is not healing. That is not a healing thing to do. And what he is doing isn't brave to me. It isn't good. It isn't smart. It isn't mature. He's telling me he can't raise a kid on his own. Right. And to like double up on that, you know, to compare it to Love Island again.
Oh, no.
That's right. I'm going there. So we're supposed to buy this shitty narrative that this was supposed to teach him that he is capable of loving again. I do not buy that. There was a actual thing that happened on Love Island where Olivia. Okay, so there's Will and Kira. They're in a couple. They're very committed to each other, and that's why I'm very invested in watching tonight. And there was another woman on the show who really liked Will, and she was just like, I just have to go all in and just tell him, even though he's in this relationship. She confessed her love. He said, that's so nice, but I'm really committed to Kira. And she cried afterwards. She's like, I'm so glad I did it, though, because I know now that I'm excited to like someone new because I hadn't liked someone in so long. That is a believable growth scenario versus this. Here on The Bachelorette, the narrative is half-assed, and, you know, he left because he, like, it's the same thing that I always say that I said last time with making a tent or, like, folding a giant blanket. I hate when people go in half-assed. If you're going to leave for 6 weeks, stay for 8, dear Lord, you know?
Yeah.
Or don't go. So I have him here explaining his so-called balancing act.
You know, what I had to do in order to be a great parent to a beautiful son, and that balance that all single parents try to keep together, which is taking care of somebody that they truly love while simultaneously trying to find happiness for themselves.
Yeah.
When you pursue one, you feel as though it takes away for another. And it's a constant juggling act. And the fact that we were so close makes it harder.
Okay, so Caitlin Bristow is crying through all that, which is like, like you're either concerned with your happiness that apparently has nothing to do with your kid, which is like what to you, and you see it all the way through, or this is a platform. And I think that's what I'm getting at, is that we're supposed to think here that the guilt ate him alive, but he's proud of himself for trying to go on. And that is not bullshit I'm gonna buy. So here he kind of says again the next part of his little speech.
Obviously, I was very proud of myself for taking this step and putting myself out there. There was a million reasons why you just say no.
Mm-hmm.
He used you when he meant me or I. I haven't bitched about that in a long time.
Well, that's when you. Yeah, I mean, fucking pick one. That's what I'm so, you know, I. Do you get what I'm saying about the blanket thing now, though, Craig? About the giant tarp, the tent thing.
For our listeners that don't remember, Easier went on this rant about how she cannot stand people that can't fold laundry or a tarp. which is true. Go ahead, Caitlin.
I was gonna say, like, I'm basically one of those people again who like cannot properly fold certain things. It's never been a talent of mine. Yeah, I think that this is the very beginning of the episode, right? Yeah. Like, it felt very anticlimactic to me in a certain way, because we all knew that Michael was going to be leaving, right? Like, it was just going to have to happen. And then this felt like such, I thought it was going to be so much more dramatic than it turned out to be, with all this buildup of the whole rest of the season so far. Like, I thought that there would really be something, I don't know, like something even more dramatic than what just happened, which was like, yeah, that FaceTime conversation with his son did sound like it would be upsetting that line that they showed on the previews for a few weeks that was like, maybe daddy doesn't want to see me. And it was like, oh no. But he's known the whole time that he's missed his son. You know what I mean? And he also knew how long the thing would be if he got to the end. So it does seem odd that the time that breaks him is both so close to the end of this whole journey, but also that the way he was describing it is his son was never going to come to hometowns in any case.
They were going to be his parents.
They're going to be his parents, and his son was going to be with the deceased wife's parents, right? And I'm like, couldn't you have also just had your son come here for hometowns and planned it that way, knowing that then you would see him, and like that would help with the whole missing him kind of thing, right? So I was like, that was just confusing to me as to why they didn't do it that way. Like, I don't know if there was some.
No. We can't like find excuses for them. They didn't want to do it that way, and they were never going to do it that way, right? Is this just a platform? This is like I thought he was. I don't know. Who knows where the talks are? But I do think they're setting him up to be like that is a good catch for a bachelor. I don't mean for a woman. I mean for producers. A single dad is like middle America woman catnip. Like, oh my god, oh single dad, dear Lord. So.
Oh my god! You're saying that like single dads are catnip to me, and I have never been from Middle America, UZR.
Well, isn't it true that women like a guy taking care of his kid is? I mean, this is such like 90s, you know, like basics well, of.
There's everything. There's a Friends episode about it, where they take the baby on the bus.
Yeah, and then they like lose the baby, but but everyone thinks that, but it's true. Women, it makes them think that they're good providers.
Well, Caitlin here has said it.
Yeah,
has said the exact same thing.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't use the word provider in terms of. Personally, when I am looking for people to be in relationships with, I don't want them to.
You said someone that has a lot of money,
like that, right? Yeah, I want them to be providing for me financially, but I don't need constant attention or affection. You can just give me money, and I'll like be hanging out over there. That's fine.
Hey, oh yeah, no, that's what I mean by provider. It no longer means here's dinner, you know, or whatever.
All right. Yeah, I was like, I don't need all that other stuff. I love my alone time and separate time. So, I mean, but it would also be great if they just would pay off my student debt. That'd be pretty sick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well. but you get me, right? It's not against anybody. Some people just it's biology to look for that. Despite having a kid or not, but the kid gives them a sense of how they're going to be and that they are open to raising and, you know, possibly mating, I'm guessing. You know, that there's a lot that there's a lot packaged into a single dad that you're already like assuming, right?
Yeah.
And
Caitlin likes the idea of older kids, not younger kids.
So that, right.
Yeah.
Thing. Yes. Yeah. I spent some time with cousins this week who are, well, one's 8, so he's like an older kid. And I was having a great time. Like, we talked about books. He told me stories. It was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Call it Michael A.
Yeah.
You could totally slide into his DMs. I mean, Ohio's not that far.
Anyway.
No, I'm not hot enough for Michael A at this stage of his career. I would need to be an Instagram model.
Oh, you think so?
Well, Ohio. I think so.
Just to correct the record here, it's not about knowing how to fold a blanket. It's about seeing things all the way through and having a good handle on things.
Right.
Literally. Not like, but also in this case, metaphorically. You know, you don't go for six. So, despite like my rage machine. You don't go for 6 weeks if you meant to actually marry the bachelorette.
Right.
You go for 6 weeks to advance your career.
Right.
So,
well, this is a good segue to my topic, if you're ready for that. I don't want to interrupt you, though.
No, I'm done.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
That was my thought.
Okay, you ready to move on, Caitlin?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Everyone take a deep breath.
Okay. Now, I'm the Craig of this podcast now, where I do a long sigh and be like, yes, fine.
Okay, this is only going to work if you guys agree with my premise. Like, it sort of requires some buy-in. Which is
every Craig conversation begins with, this is only going to work if you agree with my premise.
You know, I should use that in my professional life. That's actually a pretty good. Okay, look, so Caitlin Bristow and Tayshia ask Michael A. If Katie gave him a second chance, would he take it? He says yes. And the all-woman audience cheers at that because it's so romantic. Am I right? So far?
I mean, I will accept for whatever you're building.
Okay. So then they haul out Katie and they tell her this. And she basically just like is like, I don't care. Did you get that?
Yep.
So my statement is that there's something up in her appearance. She was pissed off at something or had a chip on her shoulder about something. So throughout her whole appearance, she just was like, shooing people off of her and not grinning a lot and just sort of like looked annoyed, don't you think?
Maybe it was finally all the producer, I mean, I don't want to say she's a puppet. I want to say she's a willing conspirator, producer stuff. So maybe she felt used finally with the way it came out.
Well, the Rose Pricks podcast thought that maybe she doesn't end up with anyone. And so this is like her having to go through the motion.
But if you don't end up with anyone, why wouldn't you just say, maybe. You wouldn't just say maybe to him?
Exactly. Yeah, well, she can't say it yet, right? Because they haven't aired the finale yet.
I feel like this is Craig. So you right there just kind of backed up my whole not everyone's interested in her because everyone kind of gave her an IOU. Everyone was like, you're great later when I'm not this hot. Like, that's what every guy has said. No one has, like, walked away with, like, I can't wait, like, anything. Let's get back together. Everyone, don't you think?
I think
with the exception of Blake, I think you're right.
Oh, yeah, Blake has not let into it.
He's not part of the conversation.
Listen, if you want to have constant affirmations of being super hot, Blake would give them to you. Right. He would give them to anyone he can have sex with. So he will be into you forever, I think. But here's what I think is going on there, right? She says no to Michael because she couldn't say yes even if she wanted to at this point because we don't know how it actually ends. So if she were to be like, yeah, I'm totally open to getting back together with you, Michael, then that lets everyone know that she doesn't end up with a person, or if she did, they broke up like immediately afterwards or whatever, right? So she couldn't say that even if she did want to say it. But my theory is that, I mean, this is based on just like nothing more than the gut feeling I've been having for a few weeks and the vague things you can see in the previews. But my thought is that something happens with Greg, and that's the thing that Katie is, put me on a plane for. That, like, it's either that he leaves or he says something like he's not going to propose at the end of this, like he wants to stay, but he's not willing to propose, that kind of stuff. So I feel like it might end in like a meltdown situation where she wants to pick Greg and he either leaves or refuses to get down on one knee. He wants to do the let's just keep dating kind. And she was freaking out about that or something. That's my thought.
Yeah.
Well, my only counter to that is only because Katie, you told me this last week, Craig, you know, that I do not like Katie anymore. And yes, I've said it myself that I do not like Katie anymore. She is so concerned with how people see her, not people like the audience, but how men like her, the whole ego stroking, the whole like compliment me constantly, please, that I feel like she would do what other leads have done at this point, if that were to happen, where they don't get their first pick, is they gleefully go to their second pick because that person is willing to shower them with compliments. Right. I think of Desiree. Rachel Lindsay had this really long conversation with Peter that was very like, why can't you pick me? I don't understand. Like, why I'm picking you. Why can't you pick me? Desiree had that conversation. I know that, you know, there's a lot of like first, like, Colton had that conversation, but then ended up with her, and we can see how that ended. Right. So,
stalked her.
I feel like Katie.
Yeah, Peter Pilot did that with Madison Pruitt and then decided to get engaged to Hannah Ann after that.
Right.
So I think it's really common, actually. So in this situation, what you would then think is that Greg's the number one. Something happens where he either leaves or he gives her some sort of ultimatum about, you know, not being willing to propose. Right. And she maybe chooses Blake because that guy absolutely will propose on camera.
Yeah. And will praise her and make her feel, you know, like, Craig, we've had this, and only because Caitlin, I don't think we've had this conversation either, but I always say that, like, I don't care who loves me. I care about who I love, right? And if we coincide, that's even better. And I'm not talking about, obviously, family or something. I'm talking about people. And I think it's very strange, and I have a few friends who have admitted this to me, that they only love the people that love them first.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a really hard time with that. Like, it like, brain melts me because I'm like, that doesn't mean anything to me like that. It's obviously a lot of rejection they're basing that on. They've been rejected so many times that whatever kind of rejection, not from a partner, but from like a parent or from a close adult figure when they were a kid. But I think it is very strange. And I think she has that. I guess if we're going to go into mental health things, I'm going to say, just as a side note, good for Thomas for not subjecting his mental health to that vigilante mob. Side note ended. Go ahead. What else?
Let's keep going. This is a good topic.
Okay. Well, and one thing about Greg and Katie, if Katie was smarter, Craig, to your point, Greg would be the sex pick. And then she would out him as a conniving jerk and go with who she loves, since that's what she wants. And that's the way it would end up anyway.
Well, she's kind of put herself in a bad position because there isn't a worthy second. I mean, Blake.
There's Blake, not a great even choice. Pretend. Yeah. She likes Blake, though. She does like him.
She does like him.
Yeah, but even she must realize that he's kind of a joke. Let's be honest.
I mean, I think she must know that he is like an absolute horn dog who's super goofy, but
that's the horn
her
dog
vibe as well. So yeah, I actually think that if they ended up together, that they would probably work well as a couple if they could stay together. You know what I mean? Like, I think they have a similar vibe in a lot of ways. And he is not, for her, he's not a bad choice because she likes him and she finds him attractive. And, you know, like, to me, looking at the men who are left, I'm like, none of these are somebody who I'd particularly want to pick. But, you know, that's how the cookie crumbles. And apparently they were guys that she did want to pick. So,
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, I want to go back to night one, pick our goth baby boy, whatever his name was.
Oh, God, that guy. Yeah, with the goth hair. Yeah, that's pretty funny.
I'm going back in time. I'm picking all night one people. Okay.
Well, there was a night one person there, Kyle.
Oh, really? No. They all look
Think he made it to the second or third week somehow.
They introduced a guy named Kyle who nobody has any idea who he is.
And he was never shown again.
Yeah, he never said anything.
I bet he's on Bachelor in Paradise. I think maybe that's what's happening. And that's why he was like randomly there, because there were no storylines surrounding him or like any reason to have him there, basically.
Right. Yeah. Well, Caitlin, I'm putting you on point here that I like your theory that he's going to tell her that he can't propose even though he still wants to be with her. And she's going to break down and lose it.
I think that's what's going to happen.
I don't think he's smart enough to like to figure that out. I think he's just going to leave.
Why is he going to leave then?
He's going to make up something, or he's going to say something like, something is weighing on me and my mom is, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be a reason that makes a lot of sense, except for the reasons he's already said, where like, I don't feel confident, you know,
okay,
I don't know. Well, I can only go.
Let me phrase that question differently. Why does he want to leave?
Well, I think I addressed this last week. He probably wants the career boost, and especially, I think number one, he wants to be in the top tier.
Yeah.
Modeling, dating, like dating models tier of Bachelor Nation.
Yeah, we've like, had that before, where you could tell somebody wants to not win it, but get very close to winning it.
Yeah, that's what Peter. I feel like that's what Rachel Lindsay's Peter wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know, and when you get too close, and I think last season someone
you get too close.
Yeah, you're like, oh, like Jed. Jed did not want to win.
Yeah.
He's like, oh shit, I'm gonna win this. Oh no.
You're right. Jed's the archetype.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he shouldn't have played Mr. Right Guy so many times. Maybe he wouldn't have won.
Yeah. I guess it's strange that they normally do not play Mantell all this early. That is very weird. They must just be because of Bachelor in Paradise. They're trying to keep certain people in our heads. I think that was the thinking.
Yeah. But, well. No, please. I keep interrupting you. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. It's because I just wanted to, because it's too early to kind of round out the season, I feel. But I was just grinding, like my jaw hurt through watching this. I felt like they were pretending to have fun, and I was just kind of between bored, annoyed, cringe, shaking my head kind of feeling. And I'm confused on where this is going collectively as a show, because I thought they were heading somewhere a little bit more interesting than this, despite the whole woke veil they tried to, like, you know, espouse now. I don't know. I guess, like, I felt like in 10th grade, I went to go see, or 11th grade? I went to go see the Royal Tenenbaums in the theater. And I can say that I was so mad, I got up and yelled at the whole theater, like, shut the fuck up. It's not funny. It's not good. This sucks. and I left the theater. And
whoa.
Like, yeah. I had that, like, visceral, like, this is stupid reaction.
Okay. Back to podcast up here. So, before we get to how this analogy fits into the show, let's talk about the actual act of you going and yelling at a theater full of people.
So my finest moment.
Was it near the end of the movie or just in the middle?
So weirdly enough, there was a time when, you know, movies that were supposed to be funny or interesting weren't slapstick. I think this was that. In retrospect, I kind of don't hate it as much, because there's much more hateable things that the Royal Tenenbaums started. But I think they were the beginning of this horrible, like, people in the theater were thinking, I should laugh at this. This is supposed to be funny. And then they would force these laughs. And I was so, like, awash in, like, what is society? Like, I felt like George Costanza, you know? Like, I had a very, like, and even, I think back then, you know, Seinfeld was on, but it was, like, ending, and I didn't really, hadn't really caught up to everything. But I felt very, like, what is society moment? And I felt like these are supposed to be people that I... they're supposed to be a little bit, you know, smarter than the average bell curve society people, and they were being
so basically were so you were a disgruntled intelligent counterculture youth.
No, it's the opposite. We were in the theater that was supposed to be the counterculture youth. I didn't think I was. No. Wait a minute. So I guess I'm getting misconstrued. I didn't think I was more intelligent.
Easier is the Joker in this story.
Oh sure, okay. In the worst way, sure. I think I. My point of bringing this up was not the whole like. Man, okay. My point of bringing this up was that, how come no one in that audience of Men Tell All was like, this is fake, this is all fake, this is stupid, no one likes your shitty song, Connor, that is not a real woman who came up to kiss you, Katie, you don't love any of them, you're obviously only in love with one guy and he doesn't like you, like you know, I'm having a reality show meltdown, you know. Yeah. and it doesn't always work this way, because I can live in the middle always. I'm always like, yeah, that's real but that's fake, but that's real but that's fake. In this case, when it's all fake and when it's all done incorrectly, I mean, even the freaking Tayshia Adams and Caitlin Bristow were horrible hosts. They couldn't control them. They were out of control. Things didn't make any sense. Like, I'm having that, like, this is no longer bad, good. This is just bad, bad. And
well, you know what this means? We really have to go to a taping of Men Tell All or Women Tell All one of these days. Didn't you come close? Like,
Oh my God.
Have a chance and it didn't pan out.
Yeah. They
I can't remember the circumstances
they,
around.
They kind of want, honestly, they want people that will only report back good things. They have.
Well, how do they know? We stand in line at some stupid studio and we go in. And they have no idea.
No, they're invite only. The Men Tell, specifically Men Tell All after the final rose, Women Tell All. Those two shows, let's say, are invite only. And typically, I don't know about anymore, but at the time, they were kind of like people that had bachelor-friendly Instagram accounts with a lot of followers. And like, not Instagram, but like in general, things like that.
So how did you come close to getting in there? Because you don't have that.
No, I have a friend who knew a producer at the time and who's no longer a producer.
Oh. So basically, I mean,
there's lots of ways to get in.
We have no chance of getting in there.
Well, there's lots of ways to get in, but I think that was at the time what I was told. Like, blogs at the time were big, so it was more like that.
Wouldn't it be awesome to like ruin a taping?
I did go to a taping of After Paradise, if you remember that show. A few tapings of that, actually.
After Paradise? No.
So it was kind of like a comment show about what just happened on Paradise, but it'd bring on the people that were cut from Paradise.
I remember that. I remember there was a post-game show. It was hosted by that one woman whose name I will not be able to remember.
Yeah, Michelle something. Is that who you're not thinking about?
But how did you get on the taping of that?
I don't remember, but it wasn't hard, however it happened. Anyway.
Yeah, but we could go ruin a taping. It'd be awesome. We just stand up.
We ruined that yelling. One taping.
I grab you. I'm like, yeah, listen to her. She's totally right.
Revolt. And we all get the whole audience.
We start a conga line like, this show is fake.
I like the idea of the conga line. Okay. Yeah, well.
We didn't ruin a taping of the proposal as much as we want to think we did. We didn't. We just ruined that one production assistant's day because she had to escort us off the lot.
Well, we had empty seats they had to fill. But anyway.
Right. Well, they used our footage. They used our footage, so it's not like they didn't get their money's worth from us being there. This was all before your time, Caitlin.
Yeah. Anything else about any of this? I mean, that's the things. That's the only things that happened. Mm-hmm. Strange.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm trying to think if anything else came up to me as being interesting. It was a little weird that Brendan kept on calling everyone like fake news. You notice that? Like, he'd be like, "You're fake news, a fake news, bro," and I'd be like, "Okay,
all right." That's what people say now, and it's really strange. I mean, the same thing with Smoke Show. I understood, you know, when someone. Now tell me if this is wrong. Remember Smoke Show? I thought it meant like smoke and mirrors, fake. And then people are telling me
it means hot.
Hot. Like smoking. And so I have the same thing with fake news. Like, I'm like, wait a minute. Does that mean you're calling him a liar? That's what he's trying to say. But saying you're fake news is so strange. It's not even. It doesn't even have like a good etymology, you know, like I'm like, how does that know that had nothing that there is a gap in the like actual reasoning of how this became a term? Like, I'm so confused. Well, the Royd crew is back. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, everyone did see them as vigilantes, but not Hannah B's men. I'm still confused on how this was so obviously. This is a better vigilante group because they had like good intentions. I mean, Trey is kind of self-righteous. Because he's trying to catch people in these like technicalities, like but I don't know. They just seem like they just weren't like evil, like cannabis men.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's all. Any other parting thoughts?
Well, what do you think bro means? Because bro, I think it's used to try to diffuse a potential fight. Like if I say, dude, you suck and what you said is fake news. That could start a fight between two men. But if I say, bro, that's bro, fake bro, news bro, then that isn't that supposed to signal that I actually don't want to fight you?
It's the new like.
It is.
It's like a kneecapping of a sentence.
For
it's
guys like
buddy, friend, everybody, we're all friends here, we're all friends with, but stop, but now, but yeah, you know.
Like, but you're fake news.
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah, I did like... when Katie accidentally called Aaron Thomas, that was kind of funny.
There's another one. There's another fake moment. Don't you think that was fake? Like the way everyone like died, like as if Thomas is the worst ever, as if Aaron is that, like, oh man, I did not have any fun. I did not have any like belief. Or any suspension. I can't make any excuses. Sometimes I do. I make excuses in my head all the time for people for reality TV. But no, I didn't have it.
Yeah. That's well, fair. We also did get some interesting information about the WoWo challenge. And yes,
I think I fast forwarded through that. I don't remember what the result was.
Well, I mean, they never tell you like if somebody won or didn't win or whatever else. Right. But they do reveal that Michael admitted that he was out of the challenge, and then asked the men about it in the thing, and I started laughing because, like, Michael's like, no, I'm not ashamed at all about that, and then a lot of the other guys were like, yeah, I'm just very tired, you have these long days, and Brendan says something like, you know, I tried, but it just didn't work, and I was like, oh, that sounds like you were having, like, an erectile dysfunction issue.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just funny in the context of being like, I was trying to jerk off, but for some reason I couldn't. I don't know.
That's a thing. It happens. Believe it or not.
It definitely can happen. Okay. But when it happens during WoWo week, it's the worst, right?
It is.
You know, I believe Carl. Now that we're talking about Brendan, on what he said about Brendan, he just wanted to come to America and drink beer.
Yes.
I was like, 100%.
I also believe Carl, and that was a great line from Carl.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay.
We did it. I thought that was a very good episode of The Bachelor Masters we just put together. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're doing the thing on The Bachelor. Like, we just had a great date. Remember when you jumped out of the plane? You were so funny when you threw me that fish.
That date we were just on was so great. Let's only talk about it. We didn't do fashion today, but I think we can go without it.
Yeah, there wasn't much in this one.
Yeah, yeah.
I like how they told Tayshia and Caitlin Bristow to match, but not really match.
Yeah, that's what I do with my kids. I'm like, yeah, here, wear the same thing so I don't have to watch you guys too closely. I mean, it's just like, it's a little bit overkill.
They're coordinating, which, yeah, it was cute.
I'm going to say one last thing. I'm getting more and more annoyed, and I wonder how she's going to circle the square that she is not woke. And you guys have sent some texts back and forth about things that have happened online regarding Katie, and we don't have to bring them all up. But I'm going to just say that, like, just to make, you know, double sure that, like, Katie turned out to be not who she said she was and a bad pick. Katie is like, she's like Jimmy Kimmel, you know, she's only for a cause because it happened to her. I can't trust that at all. Jimmy Kimmel used to be a radio host here in Los Angeles locally only. Right.
Right.
And then he had the Man Show, which was a totally sexist, like,
dressed up in blackface every episode.
Right. He's had a few things he's done. But then all of a sudden, he has a kid who needed health, who needed, to be in the NICU. And now he's all for healthcare for all. Like, now he's a proponent of that. And you're like, you know, if you don't understand the basis of why you're fighting for something, you're only fighting for a cause because it affected you personally, then you don't really get it. I don't know Jimmy Kimmel, but I think this is Katie.
Please tell us how you're going to bring this back to Katie.
Well, Katie, she pretends to be woke, but all she cares about is the fact that of sex positivity because she was sexually assaulted. And there is no, like, if you don't buy the whole program, you can't just take bits and pieces of what you actually believe. And I don't think. It's so funny. This is like it's very dystopian. Like, people are buying into woke things for the complete opposite reasons. They are not taking into account class, and they're not taking into account poverty. And there's so many questions. Like, it's always about them, centering it on them and, like, the individual and the American value thing. So American exceptionalism, especially. So I think she is she needs to stop pretending she's someone she isn't for her own good, so that she doesn't bury herself deeper.
And you have you have a clip to back this up? You were going to play something.
No, I didn't.
Oh.
I said my last thoughts.
Yeah. I could have sworn I also heard you say, I have something else to play. Yeah.
Oh, I think I meant say.
So I was waiting for a part, and I was like, this wasn't discussed drop. As far as I knew from the Mandela.
Well, I mean, we have the whole season of her just saying, like, sex positivity is so important to me, and I believe in you and your cause with this and that. And she said this, like, oh, I'm an ally of what? I don't know. Just that.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's plenty of clips.
I think you've backed up what you from this whole season, so you don't need a clip. It's just, I think Caitlin and I were waiting for a clip because you said you were going to play one.
So. Okay. See you at hometowns, I guess. Never ending season.
Well, real quick, to your point, this is a season is one episode short. Men or Women Tell All is episode 9. This was episode 8. So they're going to end on episode 10. Usually they end on episode 11. And I don't know if you remember, but months ago, they said that the season was filmed. It was like it ended quickly. So that
probably Greg explains has something why. To do with that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, yeah. When we were talking about it, that's all that was in the back of my mind. It was like, maybe it doesn't really have an ending as we're used to having it. So maybe she gets
on. Yes, it might have something different. Or the other thing I was thinking of is that it might combine in this upcoming week. Maybe it'll be Hometowns and Fantasy Suites in the same episode, right, since it'll be the same three men for both, presumably. Since they're the only ones.
There's no rose ceremony.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So maybe no rose ceremony, and they just sort of do, like, she meets their families, and then they also go to Bone Town, I guess. It's fine.
I just met your parents. Let's go.
Bone. Anyway. Yeah, so you just met your family. Let's go back to the hotel.
Nothing turns me on like meeting someone's parents.
Yeah, I think they might combine those, because then that would basically save like 1 week's worth of episode.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Okay, follow us on social media at Bachelor Masters. Leave us a review on the Apple Podcast app. DM us and we'll DM you back, hopefully. And if you catch EZR on a good day on Instagram, she'll DM you back. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.